This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Thursday, April 9th. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. New water fight over California's authority. Climate smart ag dollars get selective. CPUC to cut dairy methane incentives and confusion over ceasefire. A group of 11 Democratic Congress members led by California Senator Alex Padilla is urging EPA to withdraw a proposed rule that would narrow states and tribes' authority under Section 401 of the Clean Water Act. The rule requires applicants for federal permits for hydropower plants, pipelines, and dredge and fill projects to obtain state or tribal certification showing any discharges will comply with water quality standards. States can approve, deny, or condition projects, giving them significant influence over federally permitted infrastructure. California has taken up a significant share of the oversight after federal rollbacks followed the Supreme Court Sackett versus EPA decision in 2023. In a letter to EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin yesterday, lawmakers warned the proposed rule would severely limit that authority by restricting reviews to direct discharges, reviving elements of a 2020 Trump-era rule. They argued the change would weaken oversight of more than 400 hydropower dams up for relicensing and undermine cooperative federalism while also complicating permitting and reducing tribal authority. The legislature is considering a bill to establish a long-term funding stream from California's Cap and Invest program for nature-based climate solutions. The measure would direct $250 million toward natural and working lands programs, with $150 million of that funding grants for alternative manure management, irrigation efficiency, healthy soils, and composting. AB 2184 aims to support carbon sequestration targets for the sector were established by legislation passed in 2022. Assemblymember Lori Wilson of Sassoon City reasons that CDFA's climate smart programs help farmers and ranchers, quote, store more carbon, boost yields, and support local economies. But a funding gap is keeping the state from reaching its targets. But during a hearing this week on Wilson's bill, GOP Assemblymember Alexandra Macedo of Tulare chastised her colleague for excluding key programs from last year's Cap and Invest reauthorization. The move threatens grants for upgrading tractors to low-emission models, financing drinking water projects to avoid fees on agriculture, adopting alternatives to open burning, and building dairy digesters. Macedo argued that agriculture, quote, should not be treated as an afterthought or capped category. Despite the concerns, the measure gained the support of California Cattlemen Association and Western United Dairies. The office of billionaire investor philanthropist Kat Taylor, wife of Governor Hopeful Tom Steyer, also supports the bill. A proposed decision by the California Public Utilities Commission would cut California's renewable gas procurement target in half and extend the timeline to 2035, a move that could slow development of dairy digesters and other biomethane projects. The proposal reduces the target from 72.8 billion cubic feet to 36.4 billion cubic feet and imposes new cost controls to limit ratepayer impacts, including an average cap of 1% on utility rates. The regulators reason that the changes reflect high costs and challenges in a still-developing biomethane market. The decision comes as the state begins implementing its biomethane programs under SB 1440. It requires utilities to purchase renewable gas derived from organic waste. California's goals are tied to SB 1383, which targets steep methane reductions from landfills and from agriculture. Dairy digesters remain eligible and align with methane reduction goals, but fewer contracts, tighter cost caps, and increased competition from other feedstocks could make new projects even harder to finance, industry stakeholders say. The commission will consider the proposal at its monthly meeting today. Confusion mounting over the U.S. and Iranian ceasefire, with both sides offering differing accounts of the scope of the deal, whether the Strait of Hormuz is open and whether the U.S. allies are keeping to the deal. At a social media post yesterday afternoon, the Iranian parliament speaker accused Israel of violating the ceasefire by continuing attacks on Lebanon and drone incursion into Iran. In the meantime, White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt insisted to reporters that, quote, Lebanon is not a part of the ceasefire. She said that message has been relayed to all parties involved. Amid the confusion, vessel movement in the Strait of Hormuz yesterday was minimal. Two vessels were reported in the strait yesterday morning, according to a vessel tracking service, but hundreds remain at a standstill in the region. However, Levitt and Vice President J.D. Vance continued to insist yesterday that the strait is open, even as Iranian state media reported it was closed. A negotiating team made up of Vice President Vance, Special Envoy Steve Witkoff, and the president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, will head to Pakistan this weekend for negotiations with Iranian officials, Levitt also noted yesterday. Mosaic says it will idle operations at two facilities in Brazil as a part of an effort to, quote, reduce costs and redeploy capital. It will also try to sell one of the facilities. In a statement yesterday, the company said that it anticipates the move to reduce its phosphate production by around 1 million metric tons a year. The decision, quote, removes phosphate units from a marketplace that desperately needs more, not less, units globally. That's the word of StoneX Josh Linville speaking to AgriPulse in an email. Now, Brazilian farmers are likely to be among the worst affected. The closure of the Araxá mining and chemical complex, quote, makes Brazil more dependent on imports if no other company purchases and runs the facility, Linville added. The other pause affects mining operations at the Patrocínio complex. Here's today's final word. When we think about environmentalism, we think about climate response. It has to start with environmental justice, because we're not starting on an even playing field. We're redressing decades or centuries of intentional structural injustice. That's Tom Steyer, who made a campaign stop in Fresno Tuesday in his bid for governor. He discussed big oil, dark money from political action committees, school performance, and, quote, shared prosperity. Steyer did not take a part in last week's debate in Fresno, hosted by dozens of agricultural groups. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Thursday, April 9th. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Chap Alley.